Good evening. This is the City of Petaluma Technology Advisory Committee meeting for Wednesday, October 23rd. It is a little after 7 o'clock p.m. We're at the City Hall Council Chambers at 11 English Street in Petaluma, California, 94952. And I'd like to call to order. We will start with the roll call. Jennifer?
Davies?
Present.
Farkas?
Present.
Giovannini?
Here.
McBay?
Here.
Powers? Williams? Harris?
Here.
Great. We'll go to item number two, which is the approval of the minutes. Have we all had an opportunity to review those minutes, at least those who were present at the last meeting? And can I have a motion to approve those minutes? Oh, we don't? Okay. We've always been doing it. So we have approved the minutes. We'll go on to number three, which is public comment. I do not see anyone out there. Do we have any other comments that have come in over email? No, we do not. We will go on to item number four, which are committee comments. Do we have any comments from the committee? Okay, I would just use the opportunity to report on our subcommittee meeting, the website subcommittee meeting that just met. We went over some priorities for the city website, the concept of improving the homepage, some recommendations for mobile optimization, some ways to move forward on the collection of mooring fees, which we'll discuss later with ideas for the new agenda. For the next meeting, and we had a good hour that was fairly productive, and there'll be some comments circulating via email offline. So I thought it was a good meeting. Thank you everyone for coming. So we'll go on to staff comments, unless any other committee members had any comments.
I'll jump in now, because bringing up the subcommittee on the website made me think of what just came before the City Council on Monday night in terms of the Petaluma Star website. And I know that you're was it on the agenda? Oh, okay.
No, we were going to do that under staff comments.
If you're going to do under staff comments.
Yeah.
So moved.
So we've moved to staff comments, and Tim is going to show us the Petaluma Star website, which is great. This is the culmination of work from our economic development manager and local designers. Actually, I had a role in recommending some of the people involved in this, and it looks very good. So go ahead, Tim. Dun, da, da.
What's that?
I thought you wanted to narrate.
I'd be happy to in terms of what was presented to us. All I was going to bring up is that maybe that you were already going to do this in your staff comment and explain how your group was involved, because I didn't know if the technology committee could weigh in. I know we're talking about the city's website, but is there any feedback that we can give this website? Because there are certain items that did come up. One of the items, and I know we can kind of go through this in terms of what we're trying to accomplish, and the $30,000 that was raised privately in order to put the magazines out, and then of course we're funneling them to this website, which talks about the story of Petaluma. One of the things that I brought up at the council meeting that I thought was lacking was just a basic information capture. Usually when you go to buy, we're trying to get people to buy Petaluma by moving here, you go buy a product, they usually ask you for your information. There is a place to say, hey, here's lunch on us, but you actually have to do a proactive, I want to say yes right now and I want to go have lunch, versus there's a pop-up, and usually people are sometimes they're looky-loos, sometimes they want information, sometimes they're ready to buy. And if we, of course, captured their information, even the people that aren't interested in that moment, then we can do drip marketing through email marketing, whatever, with every 2-3 weeks you hit them. That's what I brought up at the council meeting. I know that we are going to look for a sample website that does that, that sells a product that just shows them visually and the staff of how they capture that data. Because that's it's an awesome website, great presentation. I know there's been a lot of collaboration with the PDA, Petaluma Downtown Association Chamber, your team, Tim, of course, Ingrid Alverde's team, but that was the one piece that I thought could jump out there.
Mm-hmm. Something more prominent in the way of a call to action?
And not just call to action, just proactively capture their information like a lot of websites do when they're trying to get your information so they can follow up drip marketing, email your email campaign, and we could always have four or five email templates that go out, you know, in some sort of time frame to sell them Petaluma. Because sometimes it could be a CEO that's not going to make a decision for 2 years, but if you keep hitting them every 6 months, when he's ready, he goes, oh, yeah, Petaluma.
So your question is about how prominent you make that call to action so that it can be more effective in capturing data.
Right, because right now what we're hoping for is we're getting a CEO, whomever, that's right now is ready to move a business, and we're telling them to call to action to have lunch on us.
Us for more information.
Yeah, I think it could be spelled out in plainer terms. I think it's very clever the way they've done it, but it's actually unclear in a way when you see that. And maybe it might be good to have a, you know, cut to the chase button somewhere closer to the front. I'm always in favor of a buy now sort of approach to marketing. People can find out more information if they need to, but if they just want to cut to the chase, some people will be sold already, you know.
Well, it's as simple as, like, the subscribe button is at the very bottom. You have to scroll down to get to it.
Yeah.
Mike, it's really interesting bringing this up because I'm actually on the Economic Development Committee with the Chamber or recently joined, and Ingrid's been floating this by us. It didn't even dawn on me, you know, this is a lot of what I do. And one of the things that we could actually feature, there are a lot of widgets that you can build right in the websites where it pops up, mm-hmm. and it's a dialogue that actually looks like it's somebody triggered that.
Yeah, exactly.
Prompting you, hey, can I help you? Or how can I help you? Or what can I, you know, if they start typing into it, then it actually connects via Google Chat or something else like that could go to somebody on Ingrid's team or, God forbid,
those can also be
Tim's team.
I gotta say though, those can also be incredibly annoying. And I like the idea, but I'd also want to talk to the Design Guild a little bit more to get some of their rationale for not doing that, because I know sometimes that turns people off.
Well, they can be more obtrusive. Some can be more obtrusive than others. You'd want that to be a consideration.
Yeah.
But it is a much more proactive way to sort of pull people in and engage folks.
I will totally relay this to Ingrid and the team. What happens with it or what they say about it, I'll let you know. Or you'll see what happens.
Thank you. But yeah, this is hot. It's great what they're doing on the web, the Facebook and Twitter and in the, what was it, San Francisco Business News.
The Business Times. That was
Business Times. Thank you.
Six-page spread, that full color thing.
Yeah. And I think that everybody should, in the community, us up here, there's the PDF somewhere on the website, and we can navigate to if we really want to, and you can actually send that link out, so that newsletter that went into the San Francisco Business Group, you can actually email it around.
That's great.
Because we're running out of copies over time unless we reprint.
Yeah, it's very clean looking.
She showed us that.
Yeah, she showed us
the full color PDF. It's
it's
striking.
In there somewhere.
Yeah.
They did a great job.
They're almost all new photos, and if you look at these photos very carefully, you recognize the people in them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are the members of the team.
Nice.
Thought that was very clever.
It's good.
And so the notion of the website is to tell the story of Petaluma to the prospective business.
Is this linked yet from the city website?
No, we haven't done any integration with it yet. This is only just released on Monday.
Gotcha.
Ultimately, we'll be leveraging the logo, some of the graphic elements, to try to draw some similarities in the different city web assets. Hopefully, the Web Visitor Center will pick up on some of this stuff. Maybe. I know that I plan on doing it with the city's website.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I'm going to be able to grab, like, so this is so photo-rich.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be really hard to, even when you go to some of these pages, while the city's website is loaded with text information,
just an
enormous amount of information or data, this is got it really kind of made very concise.
Feels more advertorial, but in a positive way, I would say.
It is definitely meant to be an attraction to the prospective business owner.
Yeah, that's great.
Or CEO.
Now, is this in responsive design?
Sorry?
Is this one in responsive design?
Sort of. Yeah. Here, I'll let you decide. I'll
Yeah, but I just meant on the web page. Isn't that the way it is?
Nope.
That more people end up liking.
Sometimes it behaves
Facebook
that way.
Page instead of the homepage. I have the same issue with my business.
Not now.
More likes on
my,
the
so my comment was it. Not, it's not very responsive.
I'm bringing it up on my phone, like you know.
So it was behaving differently, but that was. I think I first previewed it Sunday night. I knew about it. But
it's cool.
I don't subscribe to the Business Times, but I.
Oops.
So one.
Well,
of
that's great.
One of the things that's kind of cool in here, and is more of a technical aspect or a tech committee type issue, is under living. She previewed a real closer. You know, the value of the Petaluma City Schools or the schools in the city of Petaluma. It's huge, and if you look through her there, this is what they call infographics. Another marketing word I learned the other day. It talks, you know, you look at this real quickly and you see, wow, they have good schools.
Yep.
And they've done this theme, this high-level graphic, the infographic and the photo thing, they've really carried that to make it a visually striking. So way down here in the bottom, there's an interactive Petaluma Schools tour.
Oh, that's great.
Which works now because Jennifer fixed it. But Monday night when Ingrid was showing this, she didn't have the time to explain that there actually is a bug in the manufacturer, ESRI, ESRI, who makes GIS software. Mm-hmm. They did not have full support for browsers. Mm. So Ingrid couldn't demonstrate this, but this is what it looks like because Jennifer fixed it.
Nice.
Huh?
Good job.
And... So we start out with a spreadsheet that has all the addresses of the schools and a photo and a small text description, and it draws this little, this is called a storybook. Yeah, ESRI calls it storybooks. Mm-hmm. So it's a standard, it is a template-driven kind of thing, and it's very compelling. If only we had better pictures of the school. So if anybody has nice photos of these schools, let me know.
Can you bring up McNear?
Is that handy?
Oh, it's right. It was right there. You're right there.
You see what it does there?
Yeah.
This is all.
Oh, look at the sky.
So the GIS manager showed this to Ingrid and the housing manager, and they turned around and said, I want more of those.
I'm freaking out. Time to get a shotgun.
So you can go these link to the school's websites and no whispering.
Heard that one. That's a good one.
So Mike, do you remember anything that was really good out of, the map was really good.
Oh yeah.
This is not a GIS map.
Nice.
This is
perfect.
This is
yeah.
a map for visual mm-hmm. purpose.
And this is center of it. They all. Made this, right?
Yeah, she said they hand drew it.
They hand drew that.
That's
great. I think
they used Illustrator, but yeah.
No, that's really nice because when I tell people where I live, that's actually how I position it.
This is another. It's just kind of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And locationally, you know, this is we have an advantage here.
It's awesome.
We're south, but we're north. Or north, but we're south. Or the best of both.
All the above.
Well, yeah.
As long as we don't lose our charm. Oh, no. All of a sudden, we become Silicon Valley.
if we lose the charm, we'll have to change this website. this website portrays charm.
Yeah, we're not as bad as Silicon Valley. Not as sprawling.
That's why we have an urban growth boundary.
Exactly. Let's keep that in place.
Okay.
Excellent. Well, that's really great. Well, let's...
This is PetalumaStar.com.
This is awesome.
It's live.
Monday.
Well, I know this has been a long work in progress because I remember meeting with Ingrid when this was being planned, and it's just great to see it come to fruition. Thanks for sharing that with us. And everybody out there, come check it out. Do share it. Do like it. There's a Facebook page as well. Excellent. Thank you. Did you have any other comments you wanted to make?
If anybody has any comments or questions, feel free to email either me or Ingrid.
Great. Perfect. Well, that's exciting.
She's already working on Rev 2 or 1
awesome.
Or whatever. B or
2.0.
Yeah. 1.1.
Let's make it responsive.
Yeah, there you go.
I did give them that one, but I'd be happy to underscore it for you.
Right on. Okay, great. Well, thank you for that, Tim, and thank you everyone who was involved in making that happen. Let's go on to item number 6, which is unfinished business. We have item A. Oh, did you have another comment? Oh, sorry. I didn't hear that you had more.
I've gone so many months without a staff comment, I thought I'd better come up with a bunch for today.
Excellent.
That was one big one. The Petaluma Star was a big deal. The October has been named by the Department of Homeland Security as National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. So there have been some notable virus releases and some interesting hacking going on. I know that Anonymous was reported to be targeting agencies around California a couple of days ago. Doesn't look like they got us yet.
And I'm sorry, what...
National Cybersecurity Awareness Month.
Right, and you were saying the city is using which version of IE?
I didn't say.
Okay. Just curious. Because that's one good reason to update.
I got a lot of reasons. I got a lot. If I want to use security as a reason, I got a lot of work to do.
Is there money behind that awareness proclamation from the feds, or they just
oh,
say,
no.
Be aware?
No. When I heard about this at the beginning of the month, there wasn't any... I figured I would just announce it.
It's not part of
we will post the link to the announcement and the story and all that stuff if anybody wants to read it. We'll put it in the meeting record.
Well, it's a major upgrade incentive anyway.
Secondarily, or third, so my first one was the Petaluma Star. Third is, in coming months, we will be giving you a new look in the agenda in the minutes formats. They won't be... earth-shaking, but they're a new look. Jennifer and the clerk's office and the manager's office have worked furiously to make all of the different committees and commissions look the same, so there is a lot of similarity. Formats, we will be adding staff reports to our committee, probably in the January-February range. We are looking to streamline the archives page, which is where all the meetings are, you know, the little expandy thing. Mm-hmm. We're looking to work on that one. And we're putting the agenda and minutes templates into Granicus in the next couple of months also.
Great.
I've been saying a couple of months. I heard today that I should be saying sooner. Right? Yeah. Sorry. Well,
under promise, over deliver.
We're going to eliminate the redundant links to the extra agendas on there. I know that's been a comment among the committee here. And... there is an upgrade in Granicus that will schedule device support for live streaming.
Nice. So I can watch council meetings on my iPhone?
Exactly.
In real time, not as an archive.
You awesome. Can you can watch it the next day now.
Yeah, really.
And you can always download the 2 gigabyte MP4 and watch it.
Oh, I know that, but in real time, if you want to watch it on your iPhone,
neither. So that you will be able to watch the meeting on your iOS devices while it's live.
That's awesome.
So right now, that's the live streaming has been missing.
That's great. Thank you, Tim. Was that an expensive thing to make happen, or
no? That's what we pay in the monthly for. At least that's what they said.
So it was just part of the deal. We just weren't using it.
It's there. Granicus is constantly looking for ways to improve and expand and
awesome.
Improve those. And so,
thank you, Granicus. Thank you, Tim.
Uh-huh. And that's my comments for today.
Good, nice, juicy string of comments. Much appreciated, Tim. Okay, so now we're moving on to unfinished business, item 6. We'll go to 6A, which is discussion with possible action to consider formation of an ad hoc subcommittee to review the city's technology infrastructure planning. And if you might recall, I sent some information about the background on this. This is kind of a big topic here, but primarily in terms of how it's expressed, but primarily the focus was with respect to what we might be able to do ultimately in terms of a recommendation for the city to start taking a more proactive role in its infrastructure planning with respect to fiber-ready conduit. The idea which a lot of cities are doing already, is that when they're tearing up streets, when they're putting in developments, they're ensuring that there's conduit that is ready for fiber, whether or not you have the fiber or not. Making the conduit there available for future fiber is a good thing. So I had sent out some information with the hopes that other members of the committee could review some of that and then sort of gauge the interest in potentially having some time for us to ruminate over the matter and meet in between our main meetings to discuss the issue. Has everyone had a chance to look over that information? Does anyone have any thoughts at this point?
Are you just looking for a subcommittee to kind of go through what you just kind of described, but also that email that you sent out?
Correct.
Yeah. I think it would make sense to form that subcommittee to really poke at those ideas, because I think they're great ideas to, like you said, to provide the appropriate incentives at the end of it.
So the point is, it's something that many of us are very passionate about, and it was one of the reasons that we all got behind this effort to get Google Fiber, and one of the reasons also that, you know, we would love to be on the short list for getting what Sebastopol has with Sonic, for example. But you know, I have a passion for it, but it's a lofty topic, and I'd love to have some help in going over it. So kind of what I'm asking for, is there anyone who would care to have an interest in assisting in that effort? No, it sounds like.
What is the deal that Sebastopol has with Sonic?
Well, they have they rolled it out. Actually, why don't you talk about it a little bit, Tim?
Sebastopol?
Yeah, what happened with
that? I live in Petaluma.
Sorry?
I live in Petaluma. Sebastopol, from what I do know, aside from Sonic wanting to install Wi-Fi and them complaining about the radiation from the Wi-Fi killing the frogs, that was Sebastopol.
Oh, right.
Subsequently, some of it is. Subsequently, Sonic is rolling out fiber in Sebastopol. And the word that I got from Sonic was that Sebastopol is a high concentration of Sonic customers.
Exactly. So I knew that. I just wanted to hear it from you. So one of the things, while we on the committee can't really specifically advocate for specific provider, it's not really our role. There is a reason that Sebastopol had that, and it's simply because there's a lot of subscribers there for Sonic. So they saw that as, so we are on the list, we're interested, but where are we on the list again?
Really close to the bottom,
unfortunately.
And what are the qualifications about getting
selected? So essentially, they want to do it in communities where they already have a high density of subscriptions, because that's an easier sell rather than trying to convert people from, you know, Comcast or whatever they happen to be using.
Without directly saying it, I know also that constructability is a big deal. Sonic also has the old-fashioned overhead, which is easy to string.
Right.
And I know that if there was ever trenching involved, it would be easier to trench.
You said Sonic, you mean Sebastopol. Sebastopol is the overhead.
Both.
Okay.
Sebastopol has overhead utilities.
Right.
We have a lot of underground, which, you know, ordinarily you strive towards underground, but...
Unless we already had conduit there.
So rewind 30 years, Jason, and you're hot. You're on. that's the constructability is also a big deal. That was also a big deal in the Google Fiber, either the conduit, the ease of stringing overhead.
And not only that.
Or ease of trenching. And Sonic also uses a technology called micro-trenching.
And a map of where the conduit was, which we don't know because a lot of it's proprietary, correct?
Bingo.
Yeah.
It's like we've had this conversation before, isn't
it? We have. So Glenn Kramer from Broadcom came and gave a terrific presentation. If you only look at one of the links that I passed out, if you can look at that, it summarizes the whole thing really well. And, I mean, he was advocating strongly that it should just be part of our building codes. that as projects get approved, be it residential and business otherwise, that there be a provision to have this fiber-ready conduit installed for the future. So the question is, what can we do as a committee to try to move this subject forward into an actionable recommendation for the
Perfect
city council?
Perfect segue. So after what Mr. Kramer said and what you've just been saying, one thing that a committee like this could do would be to research other communities.
Right.
What have they done
exactly
to put into their codes, the building codes, or I don't even know where you put them.
In San Leandro, I sent some links out today that haven't been dispersed yet, but those will get sent to you guys.
It was a little late, yeah.
Yeah, and San Leandro actually did that. They actually made a council resolution.
And I have two inspiring stories I'd share with you also, which we will make part of the record.
Perfect.
GovTech.com is something I subscribe to. And there was a story in there about the state of Mississippi wanting to get on board with this, and to heck with waiting for Google Fiber. They want to just do this.
Yeah.
Also Burlington, Vermont. So if you want to go visit govtech.com, like I said, we'll put the links in there. But they both have stories. I think Mississippi's still up there. Vermont was this week.
So my sense is that at this stage, committee members would need some more time to kind of think about the situation before committing any additional time. But I would just say, if you do get a chance to look through the information, you have any comments, I'd love to have them. Maybe they could be submitted to Tim and then disseminated that.
And I didn't think of this before, but just now, would it help in subcommittee meetings if I were to offer WebEx? It's not that far of a drive for you.
No,
a thought. I'm looking at subscribing to the WebEx surface anyway. So,
I think a question that I would have, sort of in the spirit of high return on investment, is to see if Mike has any thoughts on the receptiveness that the council might have to this kind of action, right? I mean, it would be sort of an awful waste to spend a bunch of subcommittee time making a recommendation that just gets a cold reception.
It's part of the economic development program, right?
Yeah, and I think what you're getting to is, and I won't speak for all the council, but from what I sense is that that is part of the economic development plan, and we want to embrace that. It's going to be, you'll have to get through all that process, subcommittee, get the recommendations, get a nice package to get before the council. I just know, looking at the further agenda from 6B and 6C, there are a couple other big items. So is there just one thing the committee wants to kind of get arms around, or you want to do multiple things? I'm sensing you're going to want multiple subcommittees on different items. And I did actually mention in the 6C coming up, in terms of having whatever it is, hackathon or a day of tech or what have you, and that seemed to have some reception behind it as well, which I'll talk to then. I don't see in terms of ROI, if it got to the council, I'm sure that they'd be receptive. I don't know how they'll vote or what have you, but I'm sure they'll be receptive.
I mean, I have a similar concern too, that there's just so many items on here that are pretty major items, that it might be a good idea that as a advisory committee, we kind of focus that on one thing at a time versus trying to have three ad hoc subcommittees.
Would it be appropriate for us to run through the items and then maybe circle back at the end to more of an action plan once we reviewed B and C, so that we can kind of take them all
absolutely
together?
Absolutely. No, I think it's a good idea. Some of these, item 6A, this has been a long-running topic that hasn't been resolved, and I think it's a pretty big item. I think if we had to lose others to focus on something big like that, that would be where I would lean. I also think that if you're trying to court business, especially clean tech, having some type of rationale for them to come here rather than go to San Leandro or somewhere else that is moving towards this higher speed internet, it behooves us certainly. So there's a lot of synergy, I think, with the goals that are part of the economic development plan. Anyway, I think it's a good point, Chris, to come back with that. So unless there are any other comments on that topic, why don't we move on to B? Is that fair at this point?
Yeah.
Okay. So 6B, really, this is something we signed up for, and there was an indication from Tim that there is now money available, so it was a matter of simply identifying. I mean, this does not have to have an ad hoc subcommittee, but at least some people taking some interest in making a suggestion as to where best to allocate potential funding for broadband. And the spirit of this, again, is for underserved communities, maybe local nonprofits. So I don't know if anyone had a chance to look at that, but I'd welcome any comments on that at this point.
So admittedly, I didn't get a chance to look at it. So what we're talking about is there are actual funds that are available.
Correct.
For us to... should turn my mic on.
Yes.
To be able to disperse, the city actually has access to them? We have to apply for them? Or what exactly is the status?
So we would apply for them, but because we joined this ETF, we actually are in a position to apply for these, correct, Tim?
I don't understand exactly what position we are. My recollection was that nonprofits were in, to apply for the funding.
Right.
The city actually signed on as, I don't want to say endorsing, but it's kind of like, we like this.
Mm-hmm.
You remember we brought that to council.
Because it's in our economic strategic plan as well.
Huh? And it's, we're interested in this. Mm-hmm. And periodically, little juicy tidbits like this come along, and you and I picked up on this a couple months ago.
When you say nonprofits, do you remember by chance, or anybody remember if it included schools?
I don't remember. I don't even remember for sure it was nonprofits.
And if we can, once we circle back and confirm, the eligibility, I know that when I've spoken before, a couple of the government classes, they're always looking for, from Wi-Fi to accessibility, all this. So there may be some way we can tie in to the underserved that the schools aren't getting the access that they need and want and are asking for, because their funding is so low. So I don't know if there's a way to kind of mesh what I've heard from what's available and what we're trying to accomplish. So, but depending on the definition, nonprofit, schools, whatever it is.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if it's strictly nonprofits or anything goes, anybody, or if it was by purpose.
So would we just be referring then, identifying and referring nonprofits? Because it doesn't sound like the city may qualify itself. So I guess that just comes down again to who qualifies, because then otherwise we would just maybe be telling the nonprofits to apply for it, like the money's there kind of thing.
Jason, help. I mean, what I'm looking here is there's a potential for grant money, and that the idea is that we would apply, yes, nonprofits and also... it's sort of open because it also talks about sectors of the community, like if there were areas of the community that were less maybe sectors that are of lower income that might not have access to broadband, if there were grants to help them get that broadband. So it's kind of open. I mean, if you go to the site, there's actually a lot of examples of different types of nonprofits and or sectors that could benefit from this. So the idea was that we would think about this and come up with some suggestions as to how best to target and help the money get.
Do you see the specific requirements on there? Because usually it will have tax information requirements, unless they're just saying anyone.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's a pretty large report here to digest.
Which menu item are you looking at?
I'm looking at the cetfund.org/files-cetf. 2012. This is the second link, the PDF.
Oh, on the email you're saying.
Yeah. So basically what had happened is we had signed up for it before it was really even happening, and then Tim alerted us to the fact that he had gotten an update that actually money had been getting awarded, and that because we were part of this that we could make a recommendation. So,
So I remember this being in the economic strategic plan, and specifically it's pages 127 and 128. If anybody wants to go there, actually starting with 127. So one of the quick paragraphs says, a consultation with the president and CEO of the California Emerging Technology Fund, which supports the acceleration of broadband deployment and use in major initiatives around e-health and telemedicine, smart housing infrastructure and growth planning and digital literacy. So that's right. The bullet point, just so we know in macro terms what we're referring to. And it gets a little more lengthy on 128. I won't read that, but that's where it is, 127 and 128.
Of the economic strategic plan you're talking about?
Through 129.
So is the thing that we need to do here is just have somebody in particular go through and try to figure out which organizations in the city, be they schools or
exactly.
government organizations or whatnot,
exactly.
might be eligible, and then make recommendations about encouraging those groups mm-hmm. to apply?
Correct. I mean, I was certainly thinking organizations locally that are assisting people that are in, more need would be a good place to start. And of course, part of it is identifying where those needs are. And if on the subject of schools, if it relates to, certain schools that don't have access to internet, which schools are those?
And may I read one more piece? And this is on page 128, and I'm sorry, 132. I won't read the whole thing, but it is still talking about the CET, and it says, assess emerging technologies and their uses, which will require new levels of broadband capacity throughout the city. The California Emerging Technology Fund recommends this approach as the baseline of broadband infrastructure is currently good. Talking about Petaluma. Then it goes down and says, the city needs to incorporate these emerging needs into its infrastructure planning and work with local telecom providers to ensure they're making the appropriate investments in cities' wireless and wireless infrastructure. Such a matching mapping project could cost $5,000 to $20,000, depending on availability of existing data. So there might be a money component behind this. That it's we were saying the economic strategic plan that needs to happen first.
Yeah. So if you go to page 44 of that other link on CETF, there's a PDF. This actually talks about the CETF leverages seed capital, summary of financial status, and it talks about. Some grants that have been approved as an example, and it shows like one of them has to do school to home expenditures. Anyway, there's a lot to digest here.
Well, I'm happy to research it and report back.
Perfect.
So I can do that.
Awesome. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay.
It may also be like the HEAL collaborative where you pass the resolution as the city or the special district approving it, and then they provide support finding funding. So it might be something like that as well. So I'll look into it more and then.
Thank you, Domenica.
Yes.
For stepping up. Okay. So unless there are any other comments on item B, we will proceed, as Domenica mentioned, rather than forming a subcommittee at this stage, just she's taken on that as something to look into. So that's great. So we'll go on to item C, which is the consideration of promotion of community-wide event. Potential events may include an Open Gov workshop, a tech week similar to Alberta, Canada, or a hackathon similar to Spokane, Washington, or San Francisco. and there are a couple of websites to take a look at on this. So we talked about possibility of an ad hoc subcommittee or someone taking this on as something to look into. And we talked about this at the last meeting, and we were going to ruminate over this and speak about it again at this point. Has everyone had a chance to look at those links?
Yeah.
If you haven't, the Spokane one is the one I got the most information from. I've been in communication with the IT director in Spokane.
Okay.
And Spokane is kind of geographically like Petaluma. They have a river, and what they've done with that, it's four to five times as big as Petaluma, but what they've done with the river and how they've built on it and stuff like that, it's kind of a big version, a big northwestern version of Petaluma. It's, but they do amazing events. And they really come together. The, what I've noticed about the Spokane or the SpoCode, the hackathon thing they did, is it was organized by community groups of volunteers. And I think that's kind of where we're looking here, is to see if we could pique some interest in some volunteer efforts to create an event. The Spokane Codeathon was had a theme. It was create an app or create some code that, you know, accomplishes something. They had 24 hours, they had refreshments and sponsors, and it was, you know, in a big, at a fire station, actually, which I think bigger than our fire stations. But, so they had an event that was 24 hours. It started at 3 p.m. on a Friday, went till the following Saturday. The $25 entry fee was, I don't know why they even bothered charging the $25. It included, like I said, refreshments and meals and resources and Wi-Fi. And it sounded pretty good. If you look also on there, it talks about the quote-unquote winners.
Yeah.
I think the winner was the community and the inspiration and the energy they generated.
Sure.
But some of the techies came up with an app here and there that, you know, website or I forget what they were, but... it's like, I thought this was kind of cool. And there was kind of like a start-to-finish detail in the Spokane code. The San Francisco one is a little bigger. You know, Spokane or San Francisco is bigger than the rest of us. And then the Alberta, Canada, I don't even remember that one, but I think that was even bigger yet. Bigger, broader, kind of hard to get your head around. But the Spokane hackathon sounded like, when Dan Lyke was on the committee, we talked about having an event. We couldn't articulate the event. I think the Spokane thing gets close to articulating it.
I kind of like the idea of a fusion of both. If we were going to plan something where it's a showcase of local technologies and things, and then also a hackathon, and if you
it could be the central portion or a piece.
Yeah. But as actually Domenica mentioned last time, that's a big thing to put together and would take some time. So that was why that was yet another idea of whether a committee should be formed.
I don't think even if we formed a committee, we could amass the resources.
Yeah, if I may, I think this is a hot idea, but I think that we should do is reach out to the Petaluma Downtown Association and or the Petaluma Chamber, tell them this just macro general idea, and they'll hopefully will like at some make at some point they can hopefully have some resources behind it, and we could kind of help as maybe the subcommittee if we created can just say these are the types of things we'd like happen, because there's no chance the subcommittee will be able to pull this type of thing off.
We'll
need the buy-in from a chamber to make
it happen.
How about
some of the bigger ones? Are the bigger companies like? There's one called CrossCheck, I think.
I've heard of them.
Or in Phase,
Cyan, LabCon, these kinds of guys. Are they chamber members?
Some.
I know CrossCheck is, and so is Optio Solutions.
Yeah. I don't think in Phase is.
Well, that would, because then approaching the chamber, you know, picks up some of those guys in the process.
Well, it might also be helpful to do both. You know, have a dual strategy where, maybe one member of our committee could target some of the businesses that aren't already associated with the chamber, and another one could focus on the chamber, maybe someone who's already involved in the chamber, for example.
Any chamber members?
I'm a little bit inclined, to think that Mike's approach is a good one, in that I think that we could encourage the chamber and other organizations to sort of take the lead and maybe lean on the council, on the committee, you know, as appropriate for this kind of thing. You know, this kind of thing is not going to be successful being pushed by, you know, a small committee, you know, like this. I think that the Spokane thing is cool. I have a very, like, significant concern that with the proximity of Petaluma to the Silicon Valley, on the one hand, great, we can attract a bunch of folks from the Silicon Valley. On the other hand, there are hackathons going on in the Bay Area all the time, and you want to do something to distinguish yourself, and that has to be, I think, driven from the community. Tomorrow morning, there's actually an Economic Development Committee meeting that I'm going to. I'm more than happy to introduce this idea to folks and get a sense, you know, take people's temperature. In some respects, it could pair really well with the Petaluma Star and the efforts there, right? To, but I do think, like, for instance, that it would have to, there would be, need to be some kind of unique local spin on it for it to have any kind of, like, draw.
Well,
in.
I mean, I think an obvious one would be if it were a local technology showcase as well, highlighting, you know, local businesses, and then they would see an advantage from a promotional standpoint and maybe a sponsorship prospect. So. And I think Enphase would be potentially interested, for example.
Should we approach the other organizations first or develop a little bit more of a theme, or say we want to do what Spokane's doing and, you know, make it Petaluma's own?
I'd say that we sort of table it until we get a response back from some folks in the community and see what the level of interest is, and if there is that kind of interest, then we can figure out what the role for the committee might be.
So you want to talk to the chamber?
I'm more
about
than
it?
Happy to. I mean, like I said, we have a committee meeting tomorrow morning. I'm more than happy to bring it to the team.
I'd be happy to reach out to a few businesses that I've already been in touch with, and for example, did some testimonials on. So they might have an interest in that. They've already been very cooperative in wanting to showcase their technologies. So from that angle, and as well, I know some local programmers I could contact to see if they'd be interested.
So while we contact them, we could point them to the Spokane one, say, we're interested in doing something like this.
I mean, I think we could all do that if we have people we could check in on a number of levels, just kind of gauge their interests. What do you think about that? Does that sound like a good idea?
Fun. I think the linchpin is going to be the chamber or the PDA, because if they have a level of interest, then we go back to our contacts, say, the chamber has expressed interest, and we can leverage the name.
Absolutely. Great. Well, then we will do that, then we'll sort of take it offline and see what the community interest is from a variety of fronts. So, moving on to new business items.
Were we going to try to... Now that we've covered all three, sort of circle up on
I was going to use that on number 9 for future agenda planning.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
Sure.
Because then we're talking about what we might bring back. So we'll go to 7, which is new business. And do you want to bring this up?
Sure. a motion? Quickly.
I agree with
so, commonly, since we our designated Wednesday is the fourth Wednesday of the month, that falls on both the Thanksgiving and the Christmas holiday, or in the middle of both seasons. And historically, what we've done is canceled both regular meetings and picked an intermediate Wednesday, roughly early December. This year, we have available December 11th. And so if we would like to see if the committee would entertain canceling both regular meetings and intervening or convening a special meeting to replace them.
Let's do it.
Sounds good. I'll be happy to make that motion for the December 11th fusion.
We've got motions and seconds and thirds, and I think it's certainly a fourth.
Fifth. It is so ordered.
Yeah, if we were to go back, I think Mike made the motion, or no, Chris made the motion, Mike made the second, there were thirds, fourths, I don't know that matters.
Consensus.
We have a consensus on this, so it's not raising any alarm bells in terms of collision with other holidays or anything.
No,
so.
We checked with the scheduling headquarters.
Okay, so moved.
Good.
Is that a new?
So we'll send out, you'll send a reminder about that then.
Yeah, we'll issue cancellation notices to both the regular meetings and issue a special one. The notice for sure comes probably about a week before, but it'll be December 11th.
Okay. Great. Thanks. So moving on to item 8, apps of the month, discussion and review of useful mobile applications for citizens and or possible useful applications for future development for the city. We have item A, which is mobile device app called Nextdoor app. This is one I remember Tim brought up to us a while back. This is something that enables neighbors to connect in a private social network to stay informed of local information. For those viewing, you can go to https://nextdoor.com. He actually, Chris mentioned, oh, had you looked at that when we were at the last meeting, and then he decided to bring that to this meeting. So take it away, Chris.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. Yes.
So this is Nextdoor. It's a privately held company that facilitates neighborhood communication. I live in the Oak Hill neighborhood, and we had a Google group that we used for communicating with the neighborhood, and was led by one particular member of our neighborhood, and she initiated that quite some time ago. Recently, she made the push to migrate the neighborhood over to Nextdoor, and I really like the website, and I just thought it'd be something that would be good to make the community more aware of. There's a mobile app that's relatively new that's available on both iPhone and Android devices. And there are just a few really great things about it that I see. The first thing is that admittance is by address, so there are a number of different ways that you can be admitted to the group. One would be to be invited by other neighbors or administrators. Another way is that you could actually sign up and provide an address. They'll actually send you, I think, a piece of mail with a code in it so that you can use to get into the group. One of the more recent developments on the site is that you can have neighborhoods that are entirely enclosed or opened up across a number of nearby neighborhoods so that the communication can be just within your local neighborhood like Oak Hill or other nearby neighborhoods. And I'm trying to see here. I think you can see, yeah, here in Petaluma, we've got the Oak Hill neighborhood, which has quite a few members. In fact, I think it's the majority of members. 401 are in Oak Hill. But you can see that there are a number of other neighborhoods that actually have that are active on Oak Hill that just not quite have the level of participation that that Oak Hill has. And some of the nice features about it. Classifieds for people who want to sell things to folks in the neighborhood. Crime and safety updates. So you can actually sign up so that you get immediate alerts on your phone via text if somebody posts an urgent alert to the site. So it's a great way of communicating, you know, if there's something that's going on in the neighborhood from a crime standpoint, or some folks have used it for dogs that they've seen out on the loose and stuff like that. So it's kind of nice. Let's see, recommendations, they actually have it broken out into different categories so that people can recommend different service providers and businesses. And it's a really nice way to, you know, get a feel from your local neighbors of who are the service providers that they use on a regular basis. And it's used pretty often in our neighborhood. In addition to that, let's see, there was a couple of things that I wanted to show. You can post documents and schedule events. So we actually have used this for coordinating meetings with the city police department around crime and safety and whatnot, as well as like park cleanup events and stuff like that. So it's really nice as well. So I just really encourage people to check out the website. I think it's really useful. It seems like there are a few other neighborhoods that are trying to make a go of it, and I'd really encourage folks who are all watching this, I'm sure, in the community, to go and try to sign up
for the next door group in their neighborhood.
Great. Thank you, Chris. That looks like a very useful site. It's almost like residential crowdsourcing in a way.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay, well, we have another app as well. This is a multi-platform app called Cloudin. It has cloud storage and creates a local workspace to access and update documents. And viewers can visit the website www.cloudin.com. That's cloud, cloudon.com. And Tim Williamson was going to speak about this.
I was.
Excellent.
You just basically covered the whole function suite.
Oh, weren't you going to show it or something? I'm just reading the agenda.
Well, wait, I didn't bring the cable for the iPad, but
okay. Well, why don't we at least look at the website?
Okay, so so CloudOn is basic. It's kind of like a slimmed down Dropbox for the iPad, iPhone, Droid.
Oh, cool.
You download it, you install it, you save documents there, and you can view them from there. It's very straightforward
very cool.
And painlessly, shamelessly easy. Anything else becomes a shameless sales pitch. So it's
cloud storage, essentially.
It's cloud storage. I think they wanted to pronounce it cloud on or on cloud.
What is their rates?
I did not look that far into
okay.
it. I think originally someone mentioned Cloud One
mm-hmm.
here when we were talking about apps to show.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't find Cloud One except that it was an outsourcing service.
Mm.
And I thought, oh, CloudOn, it's on the iPad because I've tested it for a departmental user. So I thought, let's just do that one. There's nothing to it.
There was one I was looking at recently because I had to solve this as an issue, and it was called Just Cloud, I believe. But there's quite a few of these days, and it is a nice option instead of normal backups that people would do solely on other hard drives.
I don't know this one isn't really this is in the family more of cloud storage sharing.
Gotcha.
It's in the box.com, Dropbox, ShareFile.
Right on.
Those kinds of guys, it's in that genre. I know that in IT, I've had to look at a variety of these and how they would impact my users' desktops and ease of mm-hmm. use and quantities mm-hmm. and quotas and stuff like that. And we settled on a subscription last year. And while it's not heavily used, it does definitely replace FTP, for those of us that remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very easy. And I chose one that has no desktop footprint.
Nice.
Whereas some of these products require you to install stuff, and if you're an IT guy, and having the users install stuff isn't where you want them to go.
Well, yeah, and part of the idea is
CloudOn is one of that family, and it looks very easy. It looks more like a single user more than it is sharing among groups.
Okay.
So it didn't fit where we needed to go. You don't have sign up for one site and have lots of users departments like you would, file storage for a work group.
It says it's free for the app, but
it probably is.
The picture showing like Microsoft Word access and stuff, and I can't imagine that being free.
If I remember right, it did have
or like open
have the ability on the iPad at least to view certain documents. The ones I believe I tested on were Visio documents, and it didn't handle those very well. So. So it's we like you said, we did put the link on there anyway. It's just one of a family. Those products are just going berserk. Cloud storage.
Yeah.
Buy it now. It's cheap.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's
a lot of places to get
it. Very competitive. Mm-hmm. Great. Well, that's excellent. Something to consider for people that want to share documents and store things in the cloud. Excellent. So we'll go on to item number 9, which is a discussion on agenda items for the next committee meeting. And I'll get back to the point that Chris made as we were going to go over item 6A, 6B, and 6C and see how we sort of summarize a plan of action going forward on these and or prioritization of those issues. I'm a big fan of 6A. I mean, I like them all. They're very different. One of them is much bigger, longer term. Another one is, so we've already kind of discussed that Domenico was kind of going to take a look at that. And then item C, it sounds like we've also summarized well with all of us making some outreach, and Chris was going to contact the Chamber of Commerce. So what are our thoughts on these three items?
Seems to me like only one of them actually is required, would
require,
for only one would a subcommittee be in order, and that would be 6A.
That's my feeling as well. So do we want to think about at this time who might want to be involved in that? Do we want to take some time in between now and, well, at this point the next meeting is not going to be till December? Do we want to do some more research on our own, maybe go through some of the links more, and then maybe submit some of our findings to Tim for further dissemination back to us? What are our thoughts at this point?
I have a question.
Sure.
If we just have information to report back,
mm-hmm.
like me, for example, on the grant, is there a place in the agenda to do that openly without, like, I don't see, you know, like there's like a board comment usually for the city council. Is there an area where we can just report back without it being an agenda item?
Yeah. I mean, you can report to Tim and Tim can update us. We just can't take action on it without it being as part of the agenda.
Okay.
You can bring comments of any nature, you know, I mean, germane comments of any nature in committee comments. The committee comments is intended for comments by you guys.
Right.
So what we commonly will do is use it for subcommittee comments also, because mm-hmm. the subcommittee is comprised of you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
It seems like it might make sense to have that as an agenda item, just in case there's a, like, let's say, for instance, she finds that there are 17 organizations that might be worth, like,
right,
reaching out to, right? We might want to, like, just divide that up, and to be able to discuss that at the meeting might be appropriate, but so that it's not just in comments.
So the big difference is committee comments is just for bringing comments.
Right.
If we need to discuss or take action, it needs to be agendized.
So I would say agendize for her to report back, and then
with possible action over recommendation.
Right.
Does that sound make sense?
Sure.
Okay, so let's put that on for the next agenda.
So then you'll need, if there's going to be, if you anticipate or hope to get action, we'll need what you think that might entail.
Okay.
Because we have to say in the agenda item, action to recommend or something like that.
And so I think then, given what Chris was just saying and what I think seemed to be a consensus, that we would be bringing 6A back so that we have the opportunity to possibly form a subcommittee based on additional research.
Or any action, really, right?
Yeah.
Well, the action needs to be
specified.
Pretty clear.
So the possible action to consider formation. How about it's possible action to make a recommendation to council and or consider formation of an ad hoc subcommittee to review.
Well, the recommendation, then we'll have to have a little more language to it. We'll work on that.
Okay. So we'll work on the language.
I was even thinking the action might be as simple as, hey, we'll each take four and call them. Right.
Right.
Email them or something like
that. Okay.
If we can't articulate any action or specific action, we can always have it for discussion.
Okay.
We are good about discussing things here.
Yes.
Too good.
Okay. Well, moving in that vein, does anyone else have any other agenda items? I think it's clear we're going to have some committee comments on the items we've already discussed, A, B, and C. If there are no other items to bring back at this point for the future agenda, with the understanding that we can, of course, between now and it won't be till December, we can suggest agenda items. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Sure. Yes.
Okay, this meeting is officially adjourned. Thank you very much.
I guess that was a yes in a second.
I was like, can we get the hell out of here?
Oh, yay.